move on to the next segment of tonight. But if you guys would, let's take a minute and let's slow down a little bit. Some of you guys took that time during that last song to just kind of listen, and some of you guys didn't. But I would encourage you guys now, if you guys would please help me, and help me help you, by praying with me. So let's pray. Dear God, thanks so much for today. Thank you for our time together. Lord, we thank you that we can just go around and have fun just relaxing and enjoying each other's company. And Lord, we also thank you that you've given us the opportunity just to be able to have fun and to play and play hard. And you're okay with that because you designed us to be able to do that. But Lord, right now we ask that you would help us to hear your voice, that you would speak to us through your word, and that you would not only speak to us and change our lives here, but there's several other churches that are meeting too that love you and love your son and desire to be your children the best way possible. So Lord, we ask that you'd be with each one of us, regardless of which church we're at, whether it be here or at SAG or Grace Fellowship or any of the other churches. Lord, just help us not to miss out on what you have for us, and help us to be changed by it. So Lord, thanks. We ask you to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, real quick, as we look at the next slide, we're just going to do a little bit of review. The last several weeks, we've been talking about different things that will help us grow in our faith. So, the first week, we talked a little bit about practical teaching, the idea that when we listen to the Word of God, it should be able to tell us something to change our lives in a way that's practical, something that actually works. At the same time, last week, we looked at providential relationships, the idea that sometimes we come across relationships in our lives that take us from one area to another. And it doesn't just take us from one area to another, but it brings us to a closer relationship with God. And that's one of the things that it's amazing. And these are all things that we see throughout the Bible. And if you listen to people that have some amazing faith stories, we see that that can be a huge part of growing in your faith. Today we're going to talk a little bit about private disciplines, and we'll flesh that out in a minute. So we're talking a little bit about private disciplines today. A couple other things that we'll be looking at over the next couple weeks. We'll be looking at personal ministry and pivotal circumstances. And basically, each one of these things are all things that come across our lives. Sometimes these things come across our lives, and sometimes these are things we stumble upon, and sometimes these things are things that we purposely seek after, and as we do, God uses these to grow our faith if we want to. As we look at this next slide, let me just talk to you a little bit about practical disciplines. Practical disciplines are things you're supposed to do that you don't want to do. Andy Stanley is a guy that's a pastor in Georgia, and he talks a little bit about this. Let me throw out to you a couple ideas as far as what that means. Things you're supposed to do, but you don't want to do. Things like wake up early if you're a night person, or iron clothes, sort laundry, sort dishes, run miles, floss. What are some other things that you're supposed to do, but you don't want to do?
Put down chores.
Homework. Yeah.
Chores, homework. Put down a book.
School.
Okay, there's a lot of things like that in life that we don't want to do, but we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to do it because it's supposed to make us better. True discipline always results in progress. Okay? The more you spend time in school, you're going to do better. You may not necessarily get straight A's all the time, but going to school, you're going to get better grades, and you'll do better, and you'll learn more than not going to school at all. That's like an illustration. Even if you have a bad attitude, if you do it on a regular basis, you can still pick up from it. If you do your chores and you got a bad attitude about it, the truth is, if you're doing your chores, the chores get done. And that is progress. Another thing that discipline is doing what you don't want to do now so that you can do what you want to do later. It's kind of like paying your bills. When your parents pay bills, they pay it now so that you can enjoy stuff later. It's like taking the test for your driver's license. You take the test so that you can legally drive later. You become good friends with somebody, you build out that relationship so you can date later. These are things that kind of develop. It's the idea of delayed gratification, that you may not always have what you want now, but if you take care of it, you'll get it later. We're going to start off with Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look at two passages tonight talking about a little bit about these things. So we're looking at Psalms chapter 1. If you're not sure where Psalms is pretty much close in the center of the Bible. So Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And Psalms is in the center of the Bible. We're looking at Psalms chapter 1. And as we look at disciplines tonight, and personal disciplines, we're going to pull out a couple of them. And some of them you guys might be familiar with. Some of them maybe it might surprise you a little to know that they're there. Psalms chapter 1. And for those of you guys that are taking notes, feel free to take as many as you want. Again, it's been said that we forget more than 85% of everything we hear within 24 hours. But if you write it down, you can retain a little more. And then, obviously, there's always the notes you look back on. But Psalms chapter 1, this is what it says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit, its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Okay. The first discipline that we're going to look at is daily devotionals. And basically what it is one-on-one time with God. For the most part, anything that any of the blanks that you see on your paper, they'll be filled in on here, and we'll take some time going through it, so that way you don't have to worry about rushing. But daily devotionals, it's that one-on-one time with God. It's the opportunity for us to hear what God has to say to us. And as we look at this, here's a couple things that we see about one-on-one time with God. There's a reason that God has it here for us. If you look again at the beginning of the passage, it says that you're blessed. Okay? The person does not do certain things, they're going to be blessed. But this is what it really comes down to. Verse 2, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The idea that when a person spends time reading what God has to say, there's going to be some enjoyment, there's going to be some encouragement, there's going to be some positive things going on there. And when you delight in something, you enjoy it. You're kind of passionate about it, you're excited about it. But the truth is, a lot of times we deal with stuff and we're not really excited about it. Sometimes when you see your family members, you're not really always excited to see your family members. Sometimes you see them coming and it makes you a little nervous because you didn't do your chores right away. Or because you didn't finish your homework. Or because you're eating something you're not supposed to be eating because you're supposed to wait until after dinner. These are all things that are true about dealing with relationships. But when you truly spend time with someone you love, you can't help but enjoy it. Because you see more about the things you love about, because you're reminded about how much they love you. And that's kind of what it is here in Scripture, is that this is our opportunity to hear what God has to say to us. Whether it be being encouraged about what God has for us, or being encouraged about how God sees us, or maybe when we're depressed or down, to be reminded of who God is and what he has for us, not just now, but in the future. But it's not just about enjoying that. The idea of a devotional, it's also a time where we meditate on what the Bible says. Again, it says here, on his law, on the
word of God, the law,
God's word. This person meditates on it day and night. To be able to meditate on something is to really think about something, to think deeply on, to focus on, to really put a lot of effort into, just to kind of recall and to continue thinking about. It's kind of like if you were dating somebody and the person wrote you a note and told you how much they love you, chances are you probably read that note more than once. You know, if they told you that they loved you or they hugged you or whatever, you replay that thought in your mind over and over again. That's kind of what this is here. Again, it's the meditation of the delight that that we're supposed to have in God and what God has for us. But it's not just about thinking about it just like a couple times to be done with it. Again, in this passage, it says that we're supposed to do it day and night. And sometimes it's tough to figure out how that all comes together. Because, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I think about this stuff, it can be a chore. It's like, oh man, I got to do this more, and I got to do this longer, and whatever. But if you really enjoy something, if you really love something, it's not that difficult to be thinking about that day and night. Just because you're in front of me, Dakota, Brianna, you probably think about each other day and night. You know, whether it be you're Facebooking each other or texting each other. You know, that's the truth. When you love somebody, when you care about somebody, you think a lot about them. And you can't help it. You know? Or Eric or Melissa or Danny and Cody. I mean, we can go around the room and start picking up who you are. I'm not going to do that. Too nice to do it. But when you do, when you do really love somebody, you can't help but give them your time and your energy. And even when you're not there in person, you're still going to do it because you care so much. And this is one of the things about why this is so important. We're talking, well, let's look about the reward that comes with this. God doesn't just tell us to do it just because, like, I'm lonely. I need you to spend time with me. That's not how it works. God is God of the universe, and he has the attention of all sorts of angels and other stuff. So he doesn't really need us, but he chooses to have us interact with him. And this is kind of what's cool about it. Verse 3, it says, the person that delights in God's love, the person that focuses and meditates on God's word day and night, this is what happens. Verse 3, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. The person that spends his time meditating and reading God's word and memorizing it and hanging on to it, it's interesting because it says it's like a tree planted by streams of water. It's the idea that it's going to be rooted. It's the idea that we can be rooted. That when other people say negative stuff about us, we don't have to be swayed by what they say. We can be rooted and we can hold fast and hold still to what we believe because we're reminded that this is what God says. At the same time, if we're truly reading and meditating on what God says, then our lives are going to be changed. It'll bear fruit just like a tree. People are going to be able to see a change. People are going to see something different. It talks in here, again, in verse 3, that the tree's leaf does not wither. Leaves that don't wither tells you what about a tree?
It's healthy.
It's healthy. There you go. It's healthy. And the idea...
Evergreen.
And it's what?
Evergreen.
Maybe an evergreen.
Okay. But again,
it's healthy. The idea is this. The idea is that when you look at what God can do in our lives, to be able to be healthy, to be able to be rooted so that when people push or shove or try to drag us or bring us down, that we can still come back. We can come back alive. We can come back excited. We can keep going. Even when the rest of the world is all messed up, we can just keep charging ahead. When we develop this discipline of having that one-on-one time with God, it helps to increase our faith. Because when everybody else is telling us negative stuff, God is telling us the positive. God is switching it around. And because of that, because we have a healthy attitude or we're healthy or whatever, God promises prosperity. Again, it says here, whatever he does, he prospers. Okay? This is a promise that God has for us. If we cling to him, he's going to bring stuff together. Now, again, we're not saying that prospering means that you're going to be wealthy. Okay? Some people will say that. When you look at the idea of prospering is the idea of growing, of getting better, of being fruitful, of multiplying. Now, that comes in multiple forms. Okay? Yes, it can be financial, but it can be in relationships. It can be in the way you do things. It can be how you do things. It can be the results of what you do. There's a lot of things that come with that. Again, it's also the idea of grounding here. Verse 4, it talks about the negatives if you don't do it. Not so the wicked, they're like chaff, like the wind blows away. We don't really talk like this anymore because for the most part, most of us don't have to deal with it. But there's certain grains and wheats and things like that where they pick it up and they do one of a couple things. Either they dust it off or they put it in these little containers where they shake and or they toss up in the air or whatever. And as they do that, the chaff or the leftovers or the husks or the outside, the stuff that you don't want, it blows away. But all the heavier stuff, the grains and the things that you really do want, it settles down. So it's the idea of grounding. It's not stuff that will be blown from one way to the other. But a person that really spends that time with God will connect and will be stable versus all over the place. Again, it's also the thing about placement. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. When we make time to connect with God through that one-on-one time with Scripture, it puts us in a place where we're in front of God. It puts us in a place where we're in the presence of God. It puts us in a place where we can be secure, where we can have that confidence of what's going on in our lives. Let me just finish off with this right here, verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The idea that God is going to protect us, the idea that God is going to provide for us, these are all things that God has for us. And it's kind of up to us as far as what we're going to do with that. It's like if somebody were to offer you
a steak dinner,
and all you have to do was show up to the restaurant and take it. Most of us would do that, you know, unless you're a vegetarian, and then if they offered you a Caesar salad or whatever, you'd go with that. But there are very few things in life where it's just up for grabs and you can take. For the most part, we've got to work for it and do all this other stuff. And I don't know why it is, but for whatever reason, we seem to take God's promises and God's offer to us, and we make it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. God says, here it is, just take it. And so often, the temptation is to try to do everything on our own. But when we do everything on our own, God's not really involved there. But when we take time to bring God into the picture, it's an opportunity for us to build and develop faith. And that's partially what Scripture is all about. We're going to move on, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. And for the most part, this is where we're going to stay the rest of the night, Matthew chapter 6. And some of the stuff we're going to go through fairly quickly, and some of the stuff we'll probably take some time to go over in small groups. But Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look a little bit more about some of the other things that God has for us, and some of the other practical disciplines that we've got to work through. And again, these disciplines, there are all sorts of things that can be done or need to be done. But they're the things that nobody can really make you do. These are things that you got to kind of choose for yourself. I mean, you can belong to
the military.
You can belong to a team. There's there might be some things your family would push you to do or be a part of. And those can be temporary situations. But if you're really going to do something more, if you were going to run a triathlon, or if you were going to play a pro sport, there'd be certain things that you'd have to choose on your own. And here's a couple of those things that we would have to do. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Let me just read this to you. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. Again, Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. This is what it says. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Okay? As we look at this next slide, this is what this is. The second practical discipline we're looking at is the idea of giving. This passage, it's a reminder to us that, you know, hey, you have a lot of people, they do a lot of stuff, and like, yeah, I'm going to give, and you know, I'm going to be like the gold circle donor type person. You know, you can do that, but the Bible says here that that's all the reward you're going to get. That there's really not going to be anything else in addition to that. And, well, I'm not doing it for the reward anyway. Well, you know, that's fine and all that, but God promises us something for the future. And again, some things will be obvious and some things maybe not so much. But when we interact with that, here's a couple things to note. When it comes to giving, we're not supposed to do it for public admiration or notice. We're not supposed to give so everybody can look at us. The temptation for a lot of people is that, you know, I'm going to give more, I'm going to do all this stuff so everybody can look at me and like, oh, yeah, you're amazing. But that's not what's supposed to happen. When we're supposed to give, we're not supposed to do it in a way that draws personal attention. Because we're supposed to do it because we care about the people. We're supposed to do it because we love them and because we love them because God loves them. We're supposed to really give to the people who are in need. There are always people who are in need. There are always people around us who are in need. Sometimes you'll see those people at school. Sometimes you'll see them on the streets. Sometimes you'll run into them because they're your family. But we're supposed to help out those people in need. But the way we're supposed to also do it is we're supposed to do it quietly. We're not supposed to make a big deal about it. And there are a couple of reasons, though, I think, why it's put like that. On one hand, it's not to embarrass the person we're giving to. We're not supposed to try to do anything to make them look bad or make them feel bad or anything like that. But it's also not supposed to be a source of our pride. Because the truth is, when good things happen, it's really because just God has been gracious to us. So that's kind of important there. Let's look on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. This is what it says. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
This passage
here, it's known to a lot of people as the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of people debate over, you know, this is the Lord's Prayer, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, whatever. In either case, this is a model prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. And again, there are simple reminders that our relationship with God, it needs to be personal. So when it comes to praying, not that you can't pray, but we shouldn't always necessarily go out of our way to pray in public for public admiration or notice. And it's not to say that we're not supposed to ever do it. Okay? You see throughout Scripture, there are lots of times where people pray in groups, sometimes in small groups, sometimes in big groups, sometimes in front of the whole nation, where people pray. So it's not that God doesn't want you to pray at all in public, but God's more concerned about us taking time to be able to pray on our own in the quiet when nobody else is watching. Because that's part of what develops character. We're not supposed to do it in a way to draw personal attention, like, oh, but that person uses so many these and thous, and that person prays so eloquently, and like, oh man, I wish you could pray like that person. We're not supposed to pray like that. We're supposed to pray because we're focused on trying to build up relationships and trying to pray because we want to talk to God, not because we're trying to talk to everybody else. It's not really praying. It's more like a general public speaking thing. And we're not supposed to bow. And sometimes you see that people do this. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes when people pray, because they're not sure about what to say or how to say it, there are a lot of people that will use non-words. Truth is, I do a lot of that. Ums and uhs. and other non-words that I can't think of now because I'm supposed to tell you what they are. But you guys have heard that. You've also heard when people repeat themselves over and over and over because they're saying, and Lord Jesus Almighty and God in heaven, and yes, Lord, and yes, Father dearest, and that's all it is. Yeah, that's it. Because we wouldn't do that. And again, we're not trying to make fun of anybody. We're not, you know, because the truth is, we all have some kind of weird habit that we do, whether it be that we pray or we talk or whatever. We all have habits that we're working through. But God's desire for us is to kind of get past those habits and develop some other things instead. And for us, yeah. Okay. All
right. Well. Yes. All right. Okay. Well, we'll do the best we can with what we got. Sometimes technical things are. So. But when we interact with people, and we take time to talk with someone. If you really want to know what they're saying, you'll make time to listen. If you really want to know what they're thinking or how they're feeling.
Okay.
Ooh, yes. All right, thanks, Eric.
Okay. The idea of babbling on and on and on, this is not what God desires from us. Because the truth is, it says here again that God knows what we need even before we ask. And so we're not supposed to do it. So how are you supposed to pray? So when we look at this example of the prayer that God gives us in verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And part of it is taking time to pray about who God is. To bring honor, to bring praise to God. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the idea that we take time and we pray about God's kingdom. We pray about God's will so that we can see and we can experience God's will. Verse 11 and 12, give us a day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. To pray for personal needs. To pray for forgiveness. To pray for strength. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. To pray for strength, to pray for protection. These are all things that God has for us that we can pray for. And the truth is, these are all things that we can interact with. That each one of us has needs, each one of us has concerns, each one of us has different things where, whether it be for us, or family, or friends, or circumstances around us, that we need. And these are all things that are important. These are foundational, because if we don't take time to have that personal discipline to talk, it's like dating somebody where you listen to them, but you never share anything about yourself. How far is that relationship going to go? Okay. Well, here, let's do this. Because we can, we'll pick on some people. Okay. We'll start lightly. Sandra and Vanessa. As sisters, okay? As sisters, how much do you guys talk to each other?
All the time, unfortunately.
Okay, all right, so as you guys talk to each other, if there was something, Sandra, if there was something you wanted your sister to do, and you never talked to her, but would you just, I mean, if you were just using hand motions, or you just kind of pushed her or kicked her down the hallway, would she get what you wanted?
No.
I mean, you might enjoy the kicking there down the hallway, but I mean, that wouldn't really build your relationship very much, would it?
I have an example of that.
Okay. So Dan, since you're on that side of the room, and Brianna, since you're in the middle, and Chris, since you're all the way over there, okay? If you guys were to, one of you were to totally stop talking to the other person, and
I don't think they would mind that, really.
So if you totally stopped talking to your brother and your sister, how much would they know about you?
Not much.
Okay.
In fact, if I took them off my Facebook, they know even less.
So just so that we're all on the same page, Dan, right now you're dating somebody, right? Okay, what's her name?
Jennifer.
Okay. As you're dating Jennifer, would you like Jennifer to be a part of your family?
Of course.
Okay. So, would you like Jennifer to be comfortable in your family?
Of course.
Okay. So, if you want her to be comfortable in your family, if you let your sister and your brother see her, but they never talk to her, how close would they get?
Not very
close. Okay. So, Brianna, if you spent all your time talking with Jennifer and listening to her and having a great time with her, but you never talked with Dan, how close would you get to Dan?
Not very.
Okay. If they're doing all this talking, Chris, but then nobody spent time with you, how would you feel about that?
Left out.
Okay. All these things are true, not just for our relationships here and now, but these also apply with our relationship with God. If we don't spend time listening to what God has to say to us, if we don't spend time talking with God about how all that stuff comes together, we'll miss out on opportunities to grow. And the truth is, we'll get left out. Because if we don't take time to read what God has to say to us, then we'll get left out on all the different promises and words of encouragement and direction and challenges that God has for us simply because we're not listening. At the same time, if we don't make time to pray, then how are we ever going to know if God answered a prayer? Again, when you look at this here, a lot of the stuff that's laid out, it's pretty specific. You know, you're asking God to talk about specific things. You're asking God about your personal needs, about protection, about safety, about delivering from temptation. These are all really specific. And when we take time, when we make time to ask God for these things specifically, when God answers them specifically, all it does is it helps our faith to grow, because we can look back and we say, well, yeah, you know, Dan, we prayed for Dan's car to get fixed. It's fixed, and now he's driving all over the place. We were praying for Melissa and Eric's relationship, and what do you know? Now they're married. You know, we were praying for Dakota not to pass out and to get better, and so that he wouldn't break himself as he's running on the track, and look, Matt Getty's there in it. So, again, these are all things that we can pray for. And as you pray for these things, you see stuff come together. Now, they may not always come together the way we want them to. But when we pray about these things over and over and over, it makes it easier to say, all right, God, I can trust you. Because you were there for Dan, you were there for Eric, you were there for Melissa, you were there for Chevelle, you were there for Savannah, you were there for Ann. You're there for Chris. You're there for Micah. You're going down and down the line as you ask for these things. And we see God do things. And again, it may not always work the way we want or how we think. There was a time in February. Cora, we were praying for you and your family, right? Do you remember what we were praying for? What was the big thing that you were questioning in the month of February? You lost? You want to help? Okay. It dealt with your dad.
His job.
Moving.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so one of the things that we prayed for was we prayed for God to make it clear if Corey's dad was supposed to move or not. A lot of people were praying that they would have to stay. Obviously, they're still here. So
sweet.
You know, and again, we pray for things, and sometimes it totally comes together with the way we want it to, and sometimes not so much. Or sometimes it gets extended past the time frame that we wanted it to. And we may not always understand why. Here's a good example. Let me throw this out to you, and then we'll move on. Again, for those of you that know me, you've heard that, again, when it comes to relationships... Oh, yeah. It's on. Okay, so, here's another Jackson dating story. No, because this is a high school one. This is a high school one. We'll do my senior year, okay? Because the rest of my dating experiences in high school tank. Okay, so my senior year, I was dating this one girl. Her name was Samantha, and I thought she was the one, and I was hoping everything was going to work out. And actually, if you look in my yearbook, it's pretty. It's not like bad, but it's pretty intense. So in either case, we thought everything was going to work out, and we prayed about it, and we talked about it, and I was thinking like, okay, I'm going to finish high school, go to college. You know, when I'm, you know, maybe I'll see her in college. We'll go to the same college, and then after college, we'll get married, and it'll all be perfect. You know, maybe we even get married before we're done with college. But we didn't get married. Actually, we broke up. And it was a little rough for me in the breakup process. But we broke up. And I felt bad about it. And I felt horrible about it. And things just were not clicking. And so I spent a lot of my college career dating a lot of people. And that's a totally different story. But what it comes down to is I pray and I ask that I get married, and I didn't find the one in high school, and I didn't find her first, second, third, fourth, fifth, in any other year in college. I didn't find her in graduate school. I didn't find her until I was 29, and that's where I met Michelle.
And
the point is this. Okay, the point is very simply this: is that sometimes you pray for things and you ask for things and you want something to happen. And it doesn't work out the way that you want it to. I think Thomas has a good story about that. Because the truth is, for Thomas, there's certain things that he wanted to do. You know? As far as going to school and going away and leaving Susanville. And he prayed about it and he thought everything was coming together. Right, Thomas? And what happened? Were you able to go?
No. Actually, like, 1 week, everything just fell apart, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm not meant to go.
Okay. We don't always have an answer. We don't always have an answer for why God allows these things to happen, but they do. But the more we pray, the more we interact, the more we can see God answer, the more we can see God do things. And as those things happen, it makes it easier to keep praying. It makes it easier to believe. It makes it easier to move on. And so when other people question, other people doubt, it's easier for us to keep that faith because we've been through it already. We've seen God do things and we've seen God answer. But sometimes it takes time. This next one, it's not very common and it's really hard. But it's here for a reason. Matthew 6, 14, 15, this is what it says. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men and their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty intense. Because the truth is, for most of us, we've been hurt. We've been hurt, we've been betrayed, we've been slammed, we've been abused, we've been misused. All of us have had times like that. And if you haven't had a time like that, the truth is, as time goes on, you're going to have a time like that. Ladies, you may date a guy that goes around, they'll date you, and then they'll say all sorts of stuff to ruin your reputation so it makes them look better. Guys, you may come across and date a girl that she's really, really frisky, but she doesn't mean anything by it. You know? The truth is, and that's just simple things. You know? It's not just related to relationships. It's also based on all sorts of other things. You promised a job, you promised a raise, you promised a promotion, you promised extra credit. You promised that if you do this, you'll get a passing grade. If you do this, you'll get an A. You'll do this, and you'll pass this test. And as you do all those things, you end up getting let down. You know, and sometimes things are light disappointments, and sometimes they're deep hurts and intensive wounds. But when those things happen, we have the opportunity to either hold a grudge or to turn around and forgive. It's really a discipline to turn around and to forgive somebody. Because most of us, if we're really hurt, it's really tough to just kind of brush off. sometimes if it's really deep, you got to choose it. You got to choose to forgive, and you got to choose to let go on a regular basis. There are a lot of different things in life where, whether I've been hurt or I've been abused or misused or mistreated or lied or whatever, if I were to count all those and to cling to Him, I'd be really miserable and really bitter. But God doesn't want us to go through that. God doesn't want us to hang on to that. God desires to give us life and life to its fullest. That's what it says in the book of John. Jesus says, I came to give you life and life abundantly, life to its fullest. That's what God wants. But we can't do that if we're hanging on to all this extra baggage. So God desires for us to forgive others and not to refuse to forgive. Because the truth is, if we don't forgive, then it makes it very tough for us to really appreciate and understand and really feel God's love for us. Because part of God's love for us is how much He forgives us. We'll just look at a couple more and then we're going to finish up really quick. Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, continuing on here, it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, the idea here of fasting, there's certain things that we know and we claim about fasting, and there's certain things that we don't do anymore. So some of this stuff, it might be a little bit tough to kind of comprehend. So bear with me as we kind of go through this. The idea of fasting, it's not just about abstaining from food or water or anything else. The idea here behind fasting is not only are you spending time not eating or drinking or whatever, but you're supplementing that time instead. Instead of the time and energy and everything else you put into eating, you'd spend time into prayer or Bible reading or things like that. It's the idea of expressing a couple things. One, your seriousness about something. And at the same time, to give yourself plenty of opportunity to connect with God. That's what that's all about. Now, as this is being written, during this time frame you had a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and other religious leaders and other people in Jewish society. When they would fast, they would cry, and they'd like, oh, I've been fasting for so many days, and like, oh, I'm wasting away. You know, it's like, dude, you're not wasting away. You're 300 pounds. You're fine. You know?
Hey, that conversation was me and you, man.
And in either case, though, as this is put out, these people, that's what they're doing. They're focusing so much on how they're supposedly in personal pain and agony. It no longer is about that person and God. It's about that person showing off to everybody else. And sometimes you'll see in churches, you know, we all do stuff like that, where it's like, oh, look at me, I'm going to throw myself out there and I'm going to do this and that. But it shouldn't be about that. It says here again, we're not supposed to, if you take time to fast, whether it be during the 30-hour famine or during Lent, or any other time period where maybe you have a really specific prayer request or an urgent cry, whether it be for your parents or for yourself or for grades, because you know that when your parents get your report card, your summer is doomed. You know, it's whatever it is, to be able to take time to just focus on praying. It's one of those things that it's not designed to be done to draw pity or to draw additional attention. The idea here is that if you're going to fast, you're supposed to focus. It says here, verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to know that you're fasting. Part of that back then is they would throw dirt on their face and they'd just make themselves look miserable. The idea here is that you keep going on like there's nothing wrong. You keep going on like there's nothing negative. Because the things that are deep with you and God should be with you and God. Now, that's not to say that you totally blow off people that are close to you. But we're not supposed to do it in a way that makes us look like we're really hurting and falling apart when we're not. There's all sorts of other things that you could look at as you continue reading through through Matthew chapter 6. As we look at this last slide here, though, I'm just going to throw out a couple things to you. The truth is about personal disciplines, and it doesn't matter if it's about devotions or giving or prayer or forgiving or fasting. Any one of these spiritual disciplines, they all require a couple things. They require a time commitment. It's not something that just happens. You've got to put some time into it. They all have to be personal. It can't be something that somebody makes you do. You've got to choose to do it. It's not to say that you can't do it with other people, you know, that you guys can't take time to pray together or read your Bibles together or whatever. But it's got to be based beyond that. Like, here's a good example. If the only time that you pray or read your Bible is here with us, it's probably not the best. If the only thing that you're getting as far as practical teaching, if the only thing you're getting is from me, then again, that's not the best. Because the truth is, there's a lot of people that have a lot to offer. You know, and the truth is, here in America, we have countless, endless opportunities and resources. It doesn't matter if it's any of the Pastor Ricks or another pastor here in town. You know, again, the adult leaders here have a ton to offer. And again, whether it be Bill or Candy or Ruth or Eric or Melissa or Dan or Michelle, you know, or any of the other leaders that we come across, there's truth that can be given out. And everybody has things that they can offer. And sometimes it's important that we check out as many as possible. Again, as we cover these things, when we're throwing out passages of Scripture, the truth is sometimes I'll tell you something that'll make perfect sense. And as we're talking, it will click. But there'll also be times as we're going over some stuff, you're going to be bored out of your brain, you know? Whether it be because of the weather, or I'm stuttering too much, or whatever. During those times, open up the Bible. Read the passage. Read it over for yourself. Ask yourself a bunch of questions. Let God speak to you through His Word. Because sometimes, what God will tell you through His Word by itself will be thousands of points and ideas way beyond anything that I'll give to you in our time together. We got a little bit of time. We're going to break up in a little bit. There are some questions that are at the bottom of your page. But before we close out and pass on, let me just throw out a couple ideas for you real quick. Near the bottom in the back of your page, it says 8 devotional options. These are a bunch of different ideas and possibilities for you as far as spending time in Bible for yourself. Okay, and it's kind of a quickie. I tried to look up some of the simplest ways for us to kind of connect with God. And again, I know for some of us, finances are a tough thing. So giving you a list of books might not have been the best idea. You'll see number 6, there's a book, My Utmost for His Highest. It's a book that has been used for like years and years. And it's been like redone in different formats. And basically what it is, there's a reading. There's a reading of the Scripture, and there's some thoughts and then some ways to follow up in it. There's a bunch of books like that. They're called devotional books because it's books to help you with your devotions. But that's a simple way to do it. There's a daily bread that you can get for free at most churches here in Susanville, where it gives you a small passage to read. It gives you a verse to focus on and a story and a little quote that some usually rhymes and maybe some questions and stuff like that. And that's pretty cool, too, especially if you like stories. One that I'm sure most of you guys have heard already is the idea of reading through the book of Proverbs, using a chapter a day, because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Another one is reading one chapter of the Gospels. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you read one chapter every day, you can get through all the Gospels in 3 months. Another way to do it is reading through a chapter a day through 1 and 2 Corinthians or things like that. You can focus on a topic. Instead of trying to go through a chapter a day, you can look up a topic. And there's all sorts of different resources that you can find. If you go to the youth website, we've got a number of websites and other things that are available on there. Another way to do it is you can... Ladies, if you read through one verse of Proverbs 31 a day and focus on the verse. That's another way to do it. You can also look at Proverbs 11 or 21. But as you're reading through these different passages of Scripture, sometimes the passage will just speak for itself, and it'll just tell you to do something or remind you to think about something or whatever. But sometimes it's a little different because it's a story. It's about something that happened to somebody. So how do you dig through that? And the next section, it says devotional helps, and it gives you a list of questions. And whether it be looking at what does it tell you about God, or what does it tell you about what we're supposed to do, or what we're supposed to change, or where we need to develop, or why is this important, or whatever. Sometimes it's just taking a little bit of time to think a little bit about what that means. And when we do that, that kind of fleshes stuff out for us. But underneath that, there's a couple different ways to pray. There are 7 days in a week. And some people, what they do when they pray is every day they take an idea and they focus on praying for that. So, like Monday, you might pray for your family. Tuesday, you pray for your friends. Wednesday, you pray for church leaders. Thursday, you pray for government leaders. Friday, you know, you pray for yourself. And then you pray for circumstances. Or, you know, there's a list of things you can do. And then every day, if you focus on that, then you eventually cover everything that you've got going on. And then underneath that, you have two prayer models. There's Acts, where it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Or maybe a simplified way of looking at it is chat. Confession, honor, ask, and thank. And these are all different things, some of which we've talked about in the past before. But some of this stuff might be new to you guys. What we want to do is we want to offer a lot of different possibilities. For the remaining time that we have, we're going to go ahead and split up. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of this stuff and what it really means to you guys. Ladies, go ahead and stay on this floor. And Melissa and Candy will divide you guys up. And then guys will go downstairs. And we'll go from there.